Hello, hello, and welcome to the Paisley Penny Arcade. I am Mo Abdelbaki, and today is Wednesday, July the 3rd of the year 2024. How are you? I hope you're all doing well. I'm doing well. Yes, yes, indeed. I'm doing well today. It's been quite a month or so. What a whirlwind June was, and the last part of it was quite intense, as some of you may know. We lost our dog Trudy in the month of June, and that was terrible, absolutely terrible. And I'm still grieving, but getting over it. We're still, you know. As my wife said, I was her person, and she certainly was my person, so to speak. But we do have a new puppy. We have a new puppy. Her name is Coco Bean, and she is a golden doodle, and she's wonderful. Of course, nothing makes up for good old Trude. She was just such a wonderful, wonderful puppy. And but I'm dealing with it. You never really come fully to terms. Those of you who have been, absolute close and buddies and, you know how it is. And she was only 8, and it was one of those things that was completely out of left field, as they say. But it is intense. My goodness, it's intense. Whew, and totally unexpected. And I figured we had at least another 6, 7, maybe even a whole 8 years with her, and that just wasn't how it was meant to be. Gosh, what a good girl she was. And what a sweetheart, and how much I loved her and still do. And of course, there's memories everywhere. We have a calendar that that my wife made up with her, and I did the artwork and, pictures, and it's just, and it's up, and I love looking at it. And she was such a sweet girl, and I just love everything about it. And her, but now we have Coco, and she's a puppy, and boy, is she a puppy. She is, what a puppy. I mean, the last time we had a puppy was 8 years ago, and I was much younger. And a puppy in the 70s is, a lot of just, lack of sleep, and just, no, let's go outside and do that, type of thing. But what a joy she is. Oh, my goodness. And if all goes well, into my definite old age, which is on its way. And what a lovely little girl she is, she'll be about the same size that Trudy was, about 40 pounds. And love her coloring. She's just so pretty. And so that's wonderful. That's the joy of life, And it just fell into place. Just was wonderful how things work out. And you say, well, that's how things go, And I'm grateful to the universe, whatever that means. But I am absolutely grateful, because otherwise there would be a hole in my heart. And to match the one in my head, So I hope you're doing well. I have to have faith. I have to have faith in the universe, have faith in nature, and have faith in whatever higher powers there are. I'm not always sure about things. Yeah, I try to be. But it's sometimes you just go, how can this be? How can this happen? How can this make sense? How can there be any sense of rhyme or reason to all of this? And I talk to people, and I talk to a lot of people. I've talked to a lot of people over the years. I don't think it's a stretch to say I've talked to tens of thousands of people. I know that sounds a little hoity-toity, but over the years, I've spoke to tens of thousands of people without a doubt. I've been doing this since I was about 20 years old. I actually started doing it when I was a kid, people asking me for readings. And it was kind of a, learn-as-you-go sort of thing. But I've been doing this a very, very, very long time. And one of the things that I've seen a lot of has been loneliness. loneliness. And I'll be honest with you, I have felt incredibly lonely lately. And even though, you know, and that's lonely for Trudy, I'll be honest with you. And even though we have, you know, cocoa, as in the thing you drink, cocoa, because of her coloration, she's, you know, kind of a dark brown in some places. Her ears are a dark brown. Boy, is she pretty, you know. And she's pretty sweet. She's feisty. Oh, she's got some feistiness to her. And I like that, you know, but she's also very sweet. And, yeah, like cocoa. Well, when you add stuff to it, you know. And loneliness. I'm sure you've all been lonely before. Loneliness is not easy. Loneliness is not easy. And as a matter of fact, I happen to believe that loneliness is an epidemic right now. I think that there is an epidemic of loneliness all over the country, maybe even all over the world. And I'd like to talk about that today because I think that we can work on loneliness. I think that if we maybe define it a little bit and talk about why it is and what it is and how it affects us and how it can make us pretty darn miserable and how some people seem to choose it sometimes. And I know that doesn't sound logical and maybe it doesn't even sound real, but I do think that there are times when there are people who walk right into it, you know, and perhaps even kind of choose their loneliness. They say, okay, I'm going to do this because it's something that I'm used to or something that I'm more or less fond of. And I can't imagine why someone would do that, but there are people who actually do seem to do that. I don't think I've ever chosen it. I mean, there are some people who do. I've known them. But there have been people who have, out of loneliness, have done some pretty irrational things. Now, I'm going to warn you, by the way, that if Coco Bean, that's her middle name, Coco Bean, because she was just this little ball of fluff when she came into our lives, she's growing. Why is she growing? More like a Coco Bean stalk. She's growing, which is wonderful. That's what they're supposed to do. And that's a wonderful thing. But what people do when they get lonely is they make mistakes. And I've seen people over the years make some pretty big mistakes when they get lonely. And people ask me for help. Sometimes before the fact, and I try and help them. And sometimes after the fact, and I try and help them. And sometimes during the fact, then I try and help them. And I say try and help them because oftentimes the extent of loneliness doesn't help very much. My work doesn't help them because they go ahead and they do stuff anyway. There's a thing called a Kipper deck, and I'll get into that someday, and I'm thinking maybe I might teach that one of these days through 1-2 Academy. I haven't taught anything there in a very, very long time, and I'm a hankering to teach. I've been out to pasture for a while, and quite frankly, the grass kind of hurts my stomach when I eat too much of it, but I've been thinking about teaching again. But Kipper's a fascinating thing, and you know, you could look into it on your own. It's just like the fish. That's how it's spelled. And it's a powerful little tool. There's a little bit of science to it, a lot of intuition. Someday I'm going to talk about intuition. It's bothering me a lot. Have you ever heard of someone who does what I do, who's thinking about unplugging it? Trying to put it away, trying to put it in a box and lock it? I'm thinking about it. I'm not sure I'm going to do it yet, but for reasons which maybe I'll discuss. But anyway, I'll come to that some other time. So, but one of the cards that I have is called Sorrow. And it's a picture kind of a psychedelic Tyrannosaurus Rex. And it's hard to explain the picture other than it's a Tyrannosaurus Rex, and it's very colorful. It's all psychedelic. And you might say to me, well, Mo, that seems like it's kind of a wild-looking thing, and it's very colorful, and there's, like, you know, bright bolts of lightning around, and it actually looks kind of pleasant. There's a big peace symbol on the front of it that's bright, and the whole deck is actually a psychedelic deck, because I lived through that era, and I experienced some of those images. And the question is, why would that be called sorrow? And the answer is because I experienced that Tyrannosaurus Rex, that psychedelic Tyrannosaurus Rex. It was about 5 feet tall or so. It wasn't very big. With a friend of mine. I don't know if he saw it, but I saw it. And yeah, you can, you know, it was a long time ago when I was very young, you know, not very well, I was, you know, of, I was about, how old was I, about 20 maybe, 19, 20, and we were coming out of a Jack in the Box at the time, and it was a beautiful, beautiful summer's night. My goodness, it was a lovely night. And I turned over, and there it was, walking beside me. And it was pleasant. It wasn't scary at all. It was actually, you know, looked like something you could, you know, maybe domesticate and have in your house. And it was very friendly. And I turned to him and I said, hey, Jeff. His name was Jeff. I loved Jeff. Loved Jeff. He was a great guy. He was a wonderful guy. If he had been a spirit guide, he would have been my favorite spirit guide. And he and I were really, really, really good friends. He was a good guy. He was a wonderful musician. And he was just a genuine fellow. And I said, hey, Jeff, do you see what I see over there? And he looked over there, and he just looked at me, and in this big smile, you know, came across his face. And it was just a smile of understanding and a smile of love. And he just was just all grins, you know. And I just was like, Mo, you are just wonderful. Didn't say a word. And I laughed and he laughed and we just went on with our night. And that was my, you know, one of my great memories of Jeff. There were many, many more. He could make me laugh so hard I would just cry. And likewise, me with him. And so, why sorrow? Because, well, we lost Jeff a few years ago, you know, and I didn't even know about it. I was trying to find Jeff. And couldn't find him. I wanted to, you know, just talk to him. After years, you know, I mean, I'm 70. And you lose track of people and... I found his dad's obituary, and his dad's obituary said that he had passed before him 7 years earlier, and this was his dad had passed many years earlier, and I suddenly felt this loneliness, this great loss, this great sense of loneliness that Jeff was no longer on the planet, and it hadn't been for a long time, and it was like, oh my God. He's not only not here, but he hasn't been here for a long time. And I realized that one of these wonderful, bright lights of love and friendship just wasn't around anymore. So I was going to call up another friend of mine, great friend of mine from my youth. And so I said, okay, let me call him up. Let me just get in touch with him. Got on Facebook and, you know, got on there and found him. Said, okay, and looked at his description, and he described himself as a lifelong alcoholic and battling his demons. And I thought, oh, okay, well, let me at least send him a friend thing. And I wrote him, and no answer. And I thought, oh. And I felt lonely, you know. I thought, come on, where are my friends, you know? And another friend of mine who I thought had been my friend, turned out he hadn't been my friend for reasons I won't discuss here. I thought he'd been my brother, you know, but hadn't been. And I kind of went through and I felt like so alone, you know, people from my tribe many of whom weren't around anymore, because we were a hard-living sort of group, to be honest with you. Reckless, to be quite honest. I mean, I could have not been on this planet several times, except I really did straighten it up pretty quickly. I mean, I got married when I was young. I think I got married when I was actually 23. Which is probably what saved me, one of the things. Although there were some times when I, well, man. After I got married and had a kid, you know, and had another kid, and I said, well, I've got to be, and I took responsibility very seriously. And so that made a big difference in my life. But so many of my friends, and I felt very alone. And more than that, I felt lonely. And of course, I replaced one sort of life with another, and that took care of a lot of it. But there was still a sort of loneliness there. Maybe you felt that loneliness. Maybe you have felt before like there was something that just wasn't part of your life anymore. And maybe you wished it was. I don't know if you felt that way or not. You know, a friend got in touch with me recently. One of my favorite bands is a group called X. They're a punk rock group out of L.A. And he said, X is doing their last tour ever. Now, I saw X in 1981, I think it was, and that's why I'm deaf in my right ear, probably, because I went and I stood up against the stage, and they had a big speaker right next to my ear. And for 3 days after that concert, I was deaf in my right ear. Was it worth losing my hearing in my right ear? Absolutely not. But they're coming to my locality, and he was kind of hinting he'd like you to go with me. I think that would be great. And honestly, I would love to go and see X one more time. But we've got a puppy, and my wife can't take the puppy out because she's got arthritis in her knees, and she can't, you know, take the dog out up and down stairs, and that's up to me. And that's what responsibility is about. Would I like to go? He's lonely. I know my friend is lonely. And he would love to see X with me. I know he would. But I can't. See, loneliness is really of so many different things, so many different ways, you know? There are times when I feel really, really lonely. But I know I've got you fellas out there, fellas and gals and guys, I don't like to make differentiations like that. My friends, you're my friends. And I know you're out there, and I write to you every week, and I talk to you as often as I can. I had to take a couple weeks off. I was kind of a wreck. We connect with each other, whether we do it in real time or whether you do it in out another time. Or you know, this is such an amazing medium because my great-grandkids will be able to hear me. They may never see me. They'll see pictures of me, I'm sure. My kids are good about that. And they'll hear my voice. And they'll say, wow, great-granddad or great-great-great-great-grandpa or whatever they're going to call me. He was weird. I hope they think I was weird. I hope they think I was okay. But loneliness is something that can happen anywhere. It can happen in a relationship. It can happen in a crowd. I've felt lonely in a crowd. I have felt lonely in relationships. I imagine you have too. I imagine that this last epidemic, this pandemic, made you feel pretty lonely. Maybe it didn't. But it is possible to be lonely anywhere. Maybe sometimes in a relationship it is almost really possible to be lonely. Especially if you're not understood. Especially if that person you're in a relationship with doesn't appreciate you or doesn't really care about you. You know, if they think that you're a jerk or if they think that you're weird or if they think that there's something just too strange about you, you know? What if you're underappreciated? What if they think you're some sort of, I don't know. Have you ever felt completely appreciated by anybody? I mean, I felt underappreciated a lot in my life. A lot. I guess my dad kind of knew who I was to some extent. You know, I know my teachers didn't always appreciate me. Like, maybe none of them completely got me. I don't know how many people have ever really gotten me. How about you? Have you been gotten by people? Did they know who you were? Did they understand you? Did they figure you out? Did they want to figure out? Jeff got me. He really did. He just kind of, you know, it was just... There have been people in my life who have gotten me. There have been people in my life who have truly loved me. And you know, there have been people in my life who have understood my strangeness, and I'll put it that way, and have loved me anyway for it. And some have really liked me for it. I was on Facebook, and a friend of mine from when I was a kid, he said something. He said, "You know, you're my best friend." And it blew me away. Absolutely took my knees out from underneath me, because I was like, I never thought that. I never thought he thought of me that way. I mean, I loved him too. But he was always kind of cool. He was the coolest kid I knew, you know. But when he said, "You're my best friend," and I thought, wow, I hadn't seen him in decades, you know. But yeah, we had a good relationship, but I always thought he was always nice to me, you know. So you kind of think to yourself, what is loneliness anyway? What is loneliness? Now I have a friend who was always a good friend of mine from back in the day. Met him when I was about 20, I guess. And he's a few years older than me. We see each other every few weeks on you know, like video phone. And he lives across the country. And man, he's a darling man. He really is. And we were just close as could be when we lived in the same town. And I love him, you know. We're very close. Smart guy. Really smart. As a matter of fact, today's his birthday. Happy birthday, Greg. Happy birthday, and I love you. He may listen to this. He listens every now and then. Greg, I love you. And I'm glad that we have reconnected. Because without you, I might be very lonely. Now, I'm married. I've got my wife. But I think I'm more of an aggravation to her than much of anything else, to be honest with you. Because I'm not easy. Are you easy? Are you easy? If you're involved in metaphysics, I've never known anyone involved in metaphysics who is easy. I've never been easy. I've never been easy. I don't deal with the real world very often. I don't answer the easy questions very often. And that can make me lonely too. Because the things that I find interesting aren't necessarily going to be the things that other people care about. You know? When I talk about the things that really turn me on, other people go, yeah. You know? You know, they just don't care. And so in the middle of, I know that the epidemic just took the flavor out of everything. I don't mean that literally. For some people it did, like my kid brother, you know, when he got COVID. And he's still dealing with it, this poor kid, you know. But look what it did to our society. Look what it did to the world. It encapsulated us. It put us in these little things where we don't, these little worlds of our own. Did you know that the stand 6 feet apart was a myth? There was nothing to that? I saw Fauci the other day, and he was saying that was just there was no real reason for that. It's like, wow, at least that's what I got out of it, but... So loneliness causes people to do things that aren't logical, and it can ruin and destroy lives. It brings about depression. So not only is there an epidemic of loneliness, but there can be an epidemic of depression as well. And so what do? They prescribe drugs to fight and you know what? More power to it, because it keeps people from doing rash things, I guess. I've known so many people who are on, I'm on a ton of drugs, you know, for blood pressure and things like that, you know, because I haven't exactly lived the healthiest lifestyle. I've got some things I have to take it for, you know. But loneliness is dangerous stuff. I mean, let's talk about some of the things that are to be depressed about. COVID, yeah, it was tough. And the people who didn't believe in it, that was something to be depressed about. And the residual effects of COVID. And how about politics? Now, if that isn't something to be depressed about, I don't know what there is. How about the economy and those people who are unwilling to look at the economy and say, well, you know, it's either better or it isn't. I don't know. That's something to be worried about. And the media. But if that isn't something to be depressed about, I don't, when I was in college, man, back in the 70s, there was something to be depressed about just watching TV. I remember one night, I'd been studying a lot. I was a history major, and I'd have sometimes 300 pages of reading to do a night, and I did not take the Evelyn Wood course in speed reading. So I would just have to slug my way through this stuff, you know, and I could read fairly quickly. But man, sometimes it was just, you know, and I'm just slugging my way through the Peloponnesian War or through, you know, the Chinese Revolution or whatever it was I was doing. And holy mackerel, it would just be, you know, and I'd say, okay, I've got to take some time off and watch some TV. And it was one cop show after another cop show after another cop show after another cop show. And it was just maddening watching these horrible, horrible shows on television, you know. And God, it was just ridiculous. I used to draw my journals, and I drew this, and there was a Fresca commercial on, and I drew the Fresca commercial, and I drew a picture of T.J. Hooker on the hood of a car, and Lloyd Bridges had a show on that was a cop show, and I was just beside myself. And I was taking a media class at the time, and I put all that stuff in and turned it in, and the guy gave me an A because he didn't know how to grade it. That was pretty good, actually. I was kind of bluffed my way through college with my artwork, my cartooning. It was good. I liked that. just BS'd my way through college, essentially. You know, I went to college at the so-called Ivy League of the South, at Louisiana State, and I never wrote a term paper. Everyone else had to write term papers, and I just did these drawings. And they were good. I mean, I'm not a bad cartoonist or not a bad artist, but it was, they all said, I don't know how to judge this. I don't know how to grade it, so I'm going to give you an A. And it was like, oh, well, I'm surprised by that. I did write, too. I had to write tests. But there was some scammery going on. I admit that fully. Well, that's all right, you know. What am I going to do? I was the son of a professor without the initiative. If I'd been in another field, if they'd had Tarot, for example, I could have, you know, really done pretty well, I suppose. But remember, I wanted to be a parapsychologist, but no, we don't offer that. Yeah, that's their fault, I guess. It's no one's fault but my own. No one's fault but my own. And so with all of these things, I think we all, maybe you're not, maybe you don't feel disconnected from other people. I don't feel disconnected because, you know, we connect. I connect. I try to connect. I try not to BS. And I try not to, for example, my wife maintains that I'm too open with people. She's always like, why do you have to talk so openly to people? Why do you have to tell people everything about, you know? And it's like, well, because what's the deal with being so closed off? I don't believe in that. I mean, it's like one of my heroes is the character Elwood P. Dowd from the play or the movie Harvey. And if you've never seen the movie Harvey with Jimmy Stewart, Harvey, you know, you should. If you've not seen it, make it your next great adventure to seek out the movie Harvey with Jimmy Stewart. I believe it's 1951, right around there. The movie just might change you a little bit. It changed me. The first time I saw it, I was 15, and it changed my life because I felt the way the character Elwood P. Dowd was, except I don't drink. And I didn't drink. I drank a little at the age of 15, but not as much as he did. And it's a wonderful movie. And it's a wonderful story about a man who was a very smart guy and was a go-getter and probably an attorney from what I can figure out, and was on the water board on the western slope of Colorado, I think is what they're implying. The author, Mary Chase, was a reporter for the Denver Post, and was brilliant. Just, this story is absolutely brilliant. And he was a real smart guy, Elwood P. Dowd, and one day he just kind of drops off the face of the earth, and he's visited by a puka. And a puka is a Welsh spirit, and these pukas sometimes take the form of animals, and this animal just happens to take the form of a 6 foot 3.5 inch tall rabbit and named Harvey. And it's a beautiful movie with beautiful people and this beautiful character of Dowd, who is open and never lies and is just ultimately pleasing himself by pleasing other people. And I found myself really wanting to be like Elwood, you know, just living a pleasant life. And he's never lonely because Harvey's always with him. And I suppose to some extent, that's what Trudy was for me. She was a lot like my Harvey. Sorry. She was always glad to see me. I certainly was always glad to see her. I always talked to her. She listened. You know, in my mind, she always talked back to me. Maybe it wasn't a healthy relationship on my side, but my God, I loved her. And I sure do miss her. I miss her with every ounce of my being. And I just love the relationship that we can have with our friends, you know, our little puppies, our little kitty cats, even birds, you know, whatever it is, that we have the capacity to love them so much and so honestly, and that they have the capacity to accept that love unconditionally and love us back. You know, I just love that. Without judgment.
They never deny us anything. You know, we'd get on the couch in the morning and she'd sit next to me and we'd cuddle. I'd put my head against hers and we were just happy together. You know, she had a toy she liked to play with. She'd go get it and bring it to me and we'd play with it for a while. You know, and then she'd eat. Susan would feed her. And then she and I would go outside and we'd play with some tennis balls for a while. And until she got tired of that, we'd come in and she'd take a nap. I mean, it was just a beautiful, beautiful relationship. And it was simple. And when I came home from somewhere, boy, would she make a big dad your home. Man, am I glad to see you. And I'd think, man, am I glad to see you, Trudy, you know. And I'm so looking forward to having the same relationship with Coco, you know. And I would like to have that relationship with everybody. I would love to have that relationship with people. But people are so closed off lately. People are so closed off. You know, I would love to have that relationship with my brothers. But I can't. I've got one brother who's kind of too busy, you know, and the other brother has got his problems, and I love them both. My sister, I pretty much have a good relationship. She's very loving and very kind. But God knows she's so busy, you know. So very busy. And I don't want to bog her world down. That would be a drag. But wouldn't it be nice to be able to look at people on the street and smile and have them smile back to you? When I was a kid, growing up in the small town I grew up in, Fort Collins, Colorado, I would smile at people on the street and they would smile back at me. And I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And I could do that up until I became a hippie. And when I became a hippie, those people wouldn't smile at me anymore. They stopped. However, I could smile at the other hippies and they would smile back. We could flash each other the peace sign, like I'm flashing at you right now. If you think of it, and you're not doing something that you shouldn't be flashing the peace sign, just flash me the peace sign right now. Give me a smile. How's that feel? You know, I still smile at people. I smile at people in the grocery store, and they look at me like, "Why? What do you want? What's wrong with you? Are you crazy, old man? Look at that old man smiling at me. What's he want? Are you a pervert? What are you looking at me that way for?" Do you know how many smiles I get in a day? Sometimes none. Sometimes none. Do you know what it's like to smile at someone and have them not smile back for a week? It hurts. That's loneliness. And the thing is that it's not my loneliness I worry about. It's the loneliness of people who don't smile back at you. It can be something. I mean, I worry about people. I worry about what's going on inside. This whole business with the election and the fear that's going on. This fear that's going on. It's made people put on solid armor. People are saying, "I can't let it down. I can't let down this armor. I can't let down this force field." It's impeding their happiness. It's keeping them from breathing. And they're suffocating inside of this thickness, this gel that keeps them from seeing the reality of life and how beautiful life is. And how valuable it is. What are you doing, people who are doing this? If someone smiles at you from their heart because they love people, you know, what does it take for you to just smile back as a human being and connect, because a smile is a connection from the inside out. You know, and this isn't about, you know, God or Jesus or, you know, anything else. It's saying, I'm genuinely glad to see you as another human being. It's amazing how little of that there can be. How much fear there is. And how much unhappiness there is. I mean, I know the odds now. I mean, I'm in my 70s, and I don't know how much longer I've got on this planet. I would love to be able to say, man, I could be happy. And I know people right now, I know very specific people who are unhappy. As a matter of fact, who are miserable. And who are living their lives in misery. I know people whose marriages are falling apart. Ripping apart at the seams. And I'm like, come on. You may not be able to salvage the marriage, but look at your lives. Look at what you have that is positive. Look at the people around you who love you. Yes, you've made mistakes, perhaps, but you know what? There is so much that you do have that is absolutely wonderful. You know? You've got a lot of people who not only love you, but adore you. Adore you. But, they don't see it, or they don't want to see it, or they can't see it, or they're afraid to see it. What are our responsibilities to each other? And what are our responsibilities to ourselves? I'll tell you a story. When I was in my marriage, formerly, my first marriage, I was not happy. As a matter of fact, I was miserable. It was not a good marriage, you know? But I stayed ostensibly for the kids. So one day my 14-year-old son left a piece of paper folded up. If he could have folded up any more, he would have won a physics contest. Tiny little folded up piece of paper, and I picked it up and I unfolded it. I said, what is this? You know, I'm unfolding. Opened it up, and it was this essay called Why I Am Never Going to Get Married. And I looked at it and I thought, wow. And I read it. It was really astounding. And I said to my son, 14 years old, I said, Zach. No, I shouldn't have said his name. I said, Mr. X. I said, why did you write this? And you know what he said to me? And first of all, it said, first of all, I'm never, ever, 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 ever going to get married. And I said, why did you write this? He said, you ought to know. Wow. And I was, at that time in my life, as lonely as I could be. But yet, I had two beautiful children. Beautiful children who loved me and whom I loved. And I was being incredibly selfish and stupid, thinking that they had no idea what I was going through. You know? No idea. I was being a dummy, a dope. And so, right then and there, I said, that's it. That's it. I'm not doing my kids any favors. And I realized that something had to change, you know, because I was making a huge error. And so that's what happens, you see. We pass along the misery. We have to be aware of how we affect other people. And that it was just very difficult for me. And, you know, it's funny, before all of that happened, I'd been giving advice to people about divorce, you know. But until I went through it, a lot of the advice had been, let's just say, theoretical. Going through it changed my perspective, and my advice became a lot more holographic. And he got married, and he has two kids. Things are different, you know. But I realized that it had to be more genuine. I think I revealed way too much, but I don't think he'd mind, you know. Life is not easy. Life is not easy. I will also say he's a wonderful man and a wonderful father. But I was horrified when I read that, because I thought I was being responsible, but I wasn't. Do you see the point of that? We think we're being responsible sometimes when we're not. It's very important for us to always think about what is our duty. And I think sometimes our duty is to be open and honest with ourselves. And maybe to be open and honest with others as well. I don't know. It's a tough subject. Honesty. Loneliness. Truth. Being honorable. Trying to help others. You know? This concept of loneliness, I've seen people really make some big judgment errors when they're trying to allay their loneliness. It makes people vulnerable. There was a lady in a state, and I don't remember, I think it was Illinois, although I may be wrong, who got involved with a bogus online Nigerian love thing, and the guy took her for $1.5 million online, and she threw herself into the Mississippi River and died, you know, and her daughter was just despondent, of course. And it was like a mill of people who went after these people, and this is not unique. Loneliness is terrible stuff, and all we have to do is open up to each other and say, you know what, you don't have to be that way. And we have to guard ourselves a little more to that feeling that we are alone. I don't think that we are alone. You and I, whether you know it or not, and many of you are saying, oh God, no, I hope not, we're connected. Okay? We are all connected. We're connected through our interest in metaphysics. We're connected. If you weren't listening to me, you wouldn't be connected to me. I maintain that. And it's not through this, you know, ooh, that was supposed to be creepy music. It came I'm not sure what that was. Wow, it was creepy, that's for sure. Music, it was not. Look, sip of my tea. But we are connected. Whatever fate there is has brought us together in this way. And we're a part of each other somehow. And I don't mean that in some creepy, smarmy way. It's just that for some reason or another, we are connected. Maybe I say one thing that helps you. I know you help me. I know you help me.
You definitely helped me. Yeah. Do you know what's interesting? But the Welsh are truly the fountainhead of almost all the mystical, cool stuff. You know, the fairies and the, you know, the whole thing. You should look into the Welsh folk tales. They're quite rich. Yeah? Quite rich indeed. I love their stuff. Love their stuff. Do you know that the blue stones in Stonehenge came from Wales? That's right, the Priscilla quarries are in Wales. That's a long way away. A long way away from where the Stonehenge is at the... Wait a minute. Getting old. Where is that? I know where it is. Can't think of the name. But it's nowhere near Wells. It's quite a ways away. So, thinking Churchill Downs. It's not where it is at all. Yeah, it's not in Kentucky. Oh, man. So, how do we fight loneliness? We just fight it. And we fight it hard. And we fight it tooth and nail. And we smile a little more. And we reach out a little more. And we do more. And we try and... I mean, it's not easy, friends. It isn't. But... And we realize that it isn't other people's faults. I mean, what if you are with someone in a relationship and they never smile back at you? You can't blame them. They may feel terrible. All you can do is just hang in there and work on yourself, okay? I don't like blame. I'm tired of blame. And, you know, our society is based on kind of dragging us down because that's what sells products. Ask your doctor about, you know. But watch out for the side effects, which could include you're exploding, that sort of thing. All right. I'm feeling better. I hope you feel better. Yeah, I've been bummed out. It comes and goes. It ebbs and it flows like the tide. I'm just missing a friend. You know? Just missing a friend. Maybe my best friend. But I'm kind of raising a best friend, too. So there you are. We can do that. I love this new pup. I love her dearly. You know. But it takes time. Life is... But that's, as a friend of mine said, that's the price of love. That's the price of love. And my friend was right. What are you going to do? Tell you what you're going to do. You're going to live in the meantime. You're going to love in the meantime. You're going to embrace life, which is something we all have. I've got life, mother. I've got laugh, sister. I've got freedom, brother. I've got good times, man. That's from Hair. That's from the rock opera Hair. If you've never listened to it, you ought to. Broadway version. It's available on your friendly app, whether it be Spotify or whatever it is. You know, you might listen to Mighty Mo the Yo-Yo Pro. You might listen to my latest podcast on whatever. It's about fireworks. My podcast is called Out of Mo's Mind. It's about fireworks and how horrible they are. Okay. I'm done. If you're ever lonely, go listen to that. Out of Mo's Mind by me. You can find it. It's obscure because I'm not famous. Okay? I'm a legend in my own mind. I deeply, truly love you all, and I mean that. Let's watch out for each other's mental health, okay? I've been wondering about mine lately. Remember, next Tuesday, I'll be on with C.A. Brooks, all right, on 1-2 Radio. And I write every week in the Power Peak, okay? I love you. Peace and love, my friends. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Paisley Penny Arcade. I am Mo Abdelbaki, and today is Wednesday, the 12th of July. July, yeah, 2023. Oh, the year is just speeding by, isn't it? Isn't it? Already the 7th month of the 23rd year of the 21st century. And to think just a moment ago I was in Mrs. Parsons' fifth grade class at Laurel Elementary in Fort Collins, Colorado. Okay, go ahead, those of you listening who want to steal my identity. I won't get you that far. And now that's been a challenge. And they'll go, yes, yes, I can do everything. Well, go ahead. I mean, really, it's the world today. Oh, the world today. Isn't it a sorry place? It's not that bad. It's weird. A lot of strange goings on. There are good people left in the world. There are good people left in the world, which was proven to me recently. Thank you again. You know who I'm talking to. So, what should we talk about today? How's the weather been? How are you feeling? How has your weather been? Wow. To those of you in Vermont, and I know that there are a couple of listeners in Vermont, Montpelier, and Vermont is a destination place. It's a destination state where people go to, like Colorado. People come to Colorado to see the mountains and to, you know, buy rock candy because we have...